Good morning. It is a pleasure to be able to be with you all again this morning, to have the opportunity to look within the Word of God, find the things within it so that we can be better Christians as we move forward within this life. And it's really with that in mind that we are going to be talking about what we are this morning. The lesson title that I have is Paul's Successful Formula for Life. And within the gospel, there are certainly a lot of passages. There are maybe phrases that we can look to, and we point out those things as a good formula, or we may say as a good guide for how it is that we should live our life. And from a personal standpoint, really there are many passages that we can look to and that we may look to, and in our mind or in the walk that we are presently going in or going through, we say this is a guide that really stands out. And we probably all have passages that we look to for that. I know I certainly have various passages that I look at and really, you know, may stand out more to me now than they did 10 years ago. And there are certainly passages that really through the entirety of my life as a Christian that have served and meant a great deal to me. And as we look at the New Testament, there are many such of those passages that would be found within the letters of Paul. Perhaps if we are a parent, we would look to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4 to look at or to gain an idea of what a successful formula is for raising children. I remember even when I was growing up, that was a passage that my dad quoted to myself and to my brother many different times. So it is one that it is ingrained in my thought process. Or maybe if we are married, we look to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 there to see what type of husband we should be, to see what type of wife we should be. If you are teaching or preaching the gospel, certainly Paul's letters to Timothy would stand out. Even if you're just a young person, and you want to do all that you can for the cause of Christ, those are two very good letters to look through and read. And there's other things that we can look to, other things that we could find and talk about. Nonetheless, in looking at everything that Paul wrote, if we want a passage that has universal application, I would suggest and I would invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians. I want you to look really just at two verses primarily there that are going to serve as our text this morning. But I would suggest that we can find that there in Philippians chapter 3 and in verses 13 and 14 as Paul is really giving us a successful formula for what it is to live a godly life. I want you to begin reading with me there. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In this text this morning, we see very simply a successful formula for life that is not complicated. It's not multiple passages that we have to look to and kind of comb through to see what it is that we need to do. But I believe in looking at these passages, we can see from beginning to end what types of things are important to our life, especially as we look within the text in a broader form this morning. And as we think about and look at this passage, we can ask the question, rightly so, well, why is it that Paul serves as such a good person to learn from? Well, if you go over to chapter 4, we understand that Paul is a worthy example for us to follow. There in verse 9, he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." As you look at that passage, and really you could couple that with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, where Paul encourages the brethren at Corinth to imitate him as he is imitating Christ Jesus, we see really that we can follow Paul, or anyone for that matter, as long as they are pointing to that which is of Christ. And he is then a worthy example. However, in addition to this, we can also recognize, if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me, that Paul is one who not only talked a good talk, we may say, but he is a great example of what it is to successfully end our life in Christ Jesus. There in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I point this out because as we look at this, and as we think about our lives, in everything that we do, we want to be successful. In everything that we try, the really main purpose that you give it a shot, so to speak, is that you can succeed in whatever it is that you are doing. And if we follow the pattern of someone else that has already done it, many times it's easier to find that success. And really that's the idea of being wise, is not to just think that you have all the answers, but to look at someone else that has been there before and gain wisdom, gain understanding from that. And as we think about that in relation to the Scriptures, and as we think about that in relation to Paul, not only was he successful, but he gave us then a pattern. He gave us that model for us to be able to follow after. And we all understand that the Lord wants us to be successful in getting to heaven, not just us, but for that matter, all of those upon this earth. The Lord wants all mankind to come to repentance. However, so many people look at the Bible and seemingly don't understand maybe this aspect, or they don't understand that. And I'm sure all of you have had an experience or two that you have spoken with someone and they have said, well, we can't all understand the Bible a lot, or I have difficulty with this passage, or I'm not sure what God wants me to do here or there. And so they either seemingly go one or two extremes and they give up because everything is too complicated, or they just let someone else tell them everything that they think they need, and then they get off track that way as well. Well, within our text, Paul gives us a very concise and simple formula for success. All it is that we have to do is look at it and follow it. And to begin with, the first characteristic of this formula, and if you would turn back over to the Philippians to see this, the first characteristic of this formula where Paul begins, we may say, to get ourselves off on the right foot, he begins by saying, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And within noticing this, I first want you to understand the very simple word that begins this text there in verse 13. He simply says, brethren. Therefore, the first idea that we have to recognize is that if we want to get to heaven, it is going to be first and foremost determined on whether or not we can fall in line with that idea of being able to say, brethren, or if we are a Christian, if we're in a good relationship then with both God and man. Because it doesn't start off with that, then really everything else that we look at this morning, or anything else that you look at in regards to spiritual matters, is going to fail. Because if you go over to the book of 1 John, and chapter 4 would be a great place to start. But we understand throughout that entire text, John is there writing about the love of God, about the love that we need to have for God, that in turn, the love that we have to have for our brethren. And that if we don't have one, we can't have the other. So as we look at this, so many people don't have that foundation. We may be wealthy in this world, we may have everyone like us, we may have this or we may have that, but as what Chase said just a moment ago, no amount of money is going to prevail or get us anywhere when it comes to spiritual matters. No amount of good behavior that the world may term, let's say, as good behavior, or no amount of anything else is going to get us off on the right foot unless first and foremost we have been obedient to Jesus Christ and we are serving our brethren as well. And at this point, Paul understood this and he acted upon it. I want you to go over to Acts chapter 22.
Acts chapter 22, and there in verse 16, we read, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." As we see here, Paul is referring to these Philippians as brethren, and that is because they started off just as what he did. They obeyed the gospel through baptism. Galatians chapter 3 in verses 26 through 28 there talk about the fact that as we are baptized into Christ, we then put on Christ. And in looking at that, as we go and look and couple that with our text here in Philippians, the only way that Paul could call the Philippians brethren was because they were likewise baptized into Jesus Christ, and they were staying then one in Christ. If you back up to the beginning of the book of Philippians there, in verse 5 of chapter 1, he talks about their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So this was something that they were continuing to work on. So as we think about that in relation to Paul's opening point there in verse 13, he again says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And I don't know what translation you may have sitting there in your lap, but the New American Standard Version, I like the translation for that specific part of the verse. It says, "I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." Therefore, Paul shows us that the beginning is not the end. Nonetheless, many people have this idea that once I become a Christian, then everything is fine. Once I'm obedient to the Lord, once I've been baptized, then it's smooth sailing or it's easy from there. However, Paul points out something that we all may understand and everything else, but sometimes we fail to actually apply it in our spiritual life. And that is, namely, when we start something, we don't get the prize until we finish it. And although he started his journey, he had not yet obtained the ultimate goal. And along these lines, he was still aware then of his own shortcomings and aware also of the possibility of falling away. Go with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want you to go there to chapter 9 and read there verse 27. There we read, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." As we look at what Paul says there, and even though he had done many great things for the Lord, he still recognized that he couldn't think that he had already accomplished everything. Because if we think that we have already gotten it, then where do we really go from there? What is there left then for us to do after that? And as we think about that, You may be sitting there and saying, "Well, I understand that, Andy, but the reason I bring it up is because sadly many people, they may understand it, but so many people act as if we think it's the opposite way." And what I mean by that is we can often fool ourselves into thinking that because we have been baptized, because we come to services, because those around us may think that we are a good, quote-unquote, Christian, then that is in and of itself the truth. But we all know that that may or may not be the truth. And we all also understand, and we pointed out so many times when we talk about that grand theology that is out there in so many different parts of this earth about once saved, always saved, and we say how wrong that is and how much that is absolutely not the truth. I remember hearing, and you may or may not know who this is, you may have heard his name before, Harold Turner. He was a preacher in Arkansas for quite a while. I remember going to a gospel meeting, and this was probably 10 or 15 years ago, in which he was making this point, and he said, "You know, we preach against it so much, but if you looked at our actions and you looked at the things that we said, you'd think that we believe it." And I think there's a lot of truth in what it is that he was saying there. That we say that once saved, always saved is not the truth. we say that we have to continue to go through those things, but if you looked at so many of our lives and the way that we act and the way that we carry ourselves, you would think from an outside perspective that we may believe what it is that we say is wrong. And I bring that out because what Paul is pointing out, there is a lot for us to be able to take, and there is a lot for us to be able to think and actually do. Because as we look at other passages, John chapter 4 and verse 35, if you're taking notes, Jesus points out that there are lost souls everywhere, and the fields are white and ready for harvest. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, also 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we recognize that there is always room for growth. There is always room for a continuation of the knowledge of God. And regardless of what it is that we can or can't do, there is always something that can and should be done. And we can start off really just with the proper attitude. And I think that's what Paul is suggesting there as we look at verse 13. Start off with that idea of, I haven't obtained it yet. The next idea, or the next thing that we see as we continue that we need to understand, is pointing out that we must then set important and meaningful goals in our life as a Christian. And as Paul continues there in verse 13, he says, but this one thing I do. And as you think about that, it's not necessarily that he only did one thing, but it was one thing that he was focused upon. I want to give you an example, at least in terms of how I think so often. When I was younger, the one thing that I wanted to do was be a very good baseball player. At the time, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. But in saying that, and for the record, I was pretty decent at it, but that's beside the point. If I were to say, the one thing that I want to do is to become a professional baseball player, we would understand that there is a lot more that goes into that. It's not just this one thing that I'm doing, but there would have to be a lot of extra little things that I would have to do in order to obtain that goal. And that's really what Paul is saying. This one thing I do. He's setting a goal that is very broad, and there's going to have to be a lot that goes into it. But this is the one thing he's going to focus on. This is the one thing that I'm going to keep in my mind. Whatever it is that I'm doing when I eat, whatever it is that I'm doing when I sleep, when I talk to people, this is the one thing that overrides all of that. And as Paul is setting this goal, it's not as if it's then just that one thing, but it is permeating throughout his life. I want you to go over to Luke chapter 13. Go with me to Luke chapter 13, and let's read there verse 24. There we read, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I read this passage and it's very similar to what we so often go to in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. However, here we see Jesus begin there with the word strive. And in defining that word, it is used in contending for a prize in games, and it denotes the utmost effort being put forth. Therefore, Christ says that many are going to seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, why? Why are they not going to be able? Well, the reason that they are not able has nothing to do, listen to me, has nothing to do with a lack of ability. It has instead everything to do with the fact that so many people will not put everything into it. And when they set a goal, or when we set a goal to obtain that prize to be with the Lord, the reason that so many people fall short of that, the reason, sadly, that we have so many of our brethren who fall away and who turn back to the world is not because of lack of ability. It is in instead because of lack of effort. It is because of lack of focus. And it is because of a lack or a unwillingness to put forth the utmost effort. Therefore, when Paul is teaching us, if we want this same goal, then we can't just say we want that goal and not put forth any work. But instead, it is going to take effort, and I can assure you it is not going to be easy. But you know what? There is no goal out there that is worth anything that is just simple and easy to do. If you want something that not many people get, it is going to take effort. We are going to have to study, and we are going to have to read more. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Give all diligence or study to show thyself approved. We are going to have to determine in our minds that we need to communicate with God more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says to pray without ceasing. Now does that mean that in every single aspect of your life, every second, every minute of the day, that you need to be saying a prayer to where you just ignore everything else that's going around? No. But it's similar to what we talked about with this one thing I do. It's a mindset. It is always in your mind. It is always on the forefront, making sure that you are communicating with God. We are going to have to share the gospel more, attend meetings more. We are going to have to want to go out and do those types of things, contribute to the work of the Lord. Because if we don't do any of those things, but yet we still say, this one thing I do, well then what one thing are we doing to get there? Or what multiple things? You should better ask yourself, and for that matter myself, are we doing to get there? And as we all understand, there are hundreds of things that can take away our focus, that can take away what it is that we should be doing. But that's ever the more reason why we have passages such as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, where Paul says to set your mind on things above. And we have to prepare our minds for action. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, if you want to go over there with me for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It starts with the proper attitude, but it also then continues with the focus on what it is that we need to continually be doing. So while Paul is showing us a goal that we can set and a goal that we can strive for in order to be successful, we have to recognize it's not accomplished without effort and work then on our end. And then moving on, as we continue reading there in the book of Philippians, go back with me to chapter 3 once again, Paul's next statement. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And in looking at this idea, if we back up there to verse 4, really you could go back up to the beginning of the chapter, but if you look primarily there, verses 4 through 8, Paul lists a lot of those things that he had to forget. First of all, he had to forget his ancestry or his family because they may have stood in his way of serving Jesus faithfully. I want you to go over with me to Luke chapter 14. There in verses 26 and 27, I'm sure a passage that many, if not all of us, are very familiar with. But Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, what Jesus says there in Luke is exactly what it is that Paul is doing as we come to Philippians chapter 3. And regardless of his love for those around him, if they were going to keep him from obeying Jesus Christ, he had to forget those things. Further, in thinking about that, I understand and I know that there are times that maybe our mother or our father or our grandparents or our children or whoever it is that may be out there in this world that we're very close with, that we love with all of our hearts, there may be times that whoever it is doesn't agree with what it is that we are doing in our service to Jesus Christ. However, if we want to be successful in reaching heaven, we can't allow those things to stop us. Further, as we move on, sometimes we can also get caught up in following the religion than of those that we are close with. And once again, we have to forget those things because we understand that those are false. Those are things that are away from the Lord. But more importantly, if we want ourselves to get to heaven, don't we want others around us to get there as well? And we need to be teaching them and putting forth that example that shows them the same pattern that Paul is giving them. Additionally, as we continue, Paul goes through all of this, or he goes through all of his accomplishments, but he gets then to the verses that we come to, and he says, you know what, I have to put all those things away as well. And he's putting into practice then this idea that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, where he says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Momentary lapse of being old, I guess. However, this isn't everything that is included, because he also had to forget all of those past injuries. Now, why do I say that? Go with me over to 2 Corinthians for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm not going to read all of this, but if you begin about there in verse 22 and read down through the end of the chapter, Paul goes through there a list of all the things, not all the things, but I use that word generally, of many of the things that he had to go through in his service to Jesus Christ. He begins there in verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths all. And he goes on continuing to detail many of the things that he had to go through. And you know what? I have seen it be the case many times that someone falls short, or that someone begins to lack or begins to get weak in the faith, not because they aren't doing things that are right, not because they aren't continuing to try to teach their children or to teach those around them, but because there's so much that goes on in their life that they begin to feel defeated. And they can't get past those things. I would suggest to you that congregations as a whole have a problem with that as well. And they can't get past certain things that are done to them. It's always them, certain things that are done to them that were wrong. Well, you know what? If we can't get past that, then we're not going to go where we want. If we can't forget, when we talk about forgetting those things which are behind, it also can be those things which somebody has wronged us with. Because I assure you, if you hold on to that and you keep that within you, that affects you. That allows you to not grow. That allows you to not do what it is that you should be doing. And Paul had a lot of that. But yet he still got past those things. He forgot about those things. Similarly, he forgot about also the things that he recognized even in himself that he did wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he talks about himself being the chief of all sinners. Now, does that mean that he just kept living that life as the chief of all sinners after he was obedient to Jesus Christ? He didn't just keep sinning and say, well, I'm the chief of all sinners, and look, I'm still okay. It was the things that he did before. It was that life that he lived when he persecuted the church, when he went against those things. That's what he's talking about when he thinks about being a chief of all sinners, of all those things that he did against the Lord. But yet he repented and he knew that he had to put those things behind him. And as we think about that, there are a lot of things within our life that can deeply hurt us. Paul certainly had that even among his brethren, just like we do. Nonetheless, in looking at this idea of forgetting and in seeing all the things that Paul had to forget about, one thing after the other, it is important to understand and to know what it is to forget. Because often, We think about the word of forget and we think, well, that means that you're never going to remember it. You're never going to think about it again. That's not reality. That's just not reality. Because as we think about what Paul is saying here, the idea of forget is not that he's just going to stop remembering any of those things that happened, or to stop thinking about the things that he did wrong, or the things that were done wrong to him. Because you don't grow if you just completely forget about all those things. You don't learn from them. Instead, Paul's going to forget to the extent that he's not going to let them affect him moving forward. And certainly, it is important for us to recognize and to understand the things that we have done wrong, because I don't want to do them again. It's good to know and to remember also the good things that we do so that we can keep doing those. So Paul is pointing out that we shouldn't look back at our past and let that be a hindrance. And there are a lot of people that carry way too much within themselves. And that's why we don't grow. That's why we don't feel joy. That's why we don't feel happiness at times. Because we keep holding on to all of these things that we have done wrong. You know what? I've done things that are wrong too. I've done a lot of things that are wrong. But if I focus only on that, I'm not going to grow and I'm not going to have that joy and that love that I need to have. And so many of our brethren need to let go of some of those things, both in their own lives and in those around them. And consequently, what we are to forget are the things that are a hindrance to us. The things that stop us from moving forward. The things that stop us from improving ourselves. And really that gets us to the last quality or the last critical aspect of what it is that Paul talks about in these two passages, of being successful in our Christian lives, and that is to press forward and to keep our priorities straight. Because as we look at verse 14, he says then, I press, or let's go back actually to verse 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The idea of reaching there is very important because it's a term that describes, and we all see this. Now, I will admit, not a runner, hate running, find it to be pointless. I'd rather do something that is athletic and have a purpose, let's say. I can play baseball, basketball, football, any of those things all day long and run all around. Just running a straight line seems dumb to me, but that's just me. But the idea of, and I apologize if you enjoy running, that's fine. But the idea of reaching, it's that idea that we see at the end of a race, that they're going out, they're putting that last bit of effort, everything that they have, because they know the end is right there, and they're reaching out or they're lunging towards it. And it points out the fact that our success is not found then in what we've already done. Our success is found in being able to see what's before us and to keep going. It requires us to maintain then that right relationship with Jesus, or to be found in Him as we look at verse 9. It requires us to have a deeper knowledge of our Lord, that we may know Him as we look at verse 10. And all of this then, as we go to verse 11, so that we can attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And as we look at those passages, and then we come into what we see in verses 13 and 14, really that's the text, or that's the point of why it is that Paul is getting to this. Because in every aspect of our life, it is critical to know what it is that we are going for. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. And it is then going on and recognizing that we serve a faithful Creator who gives unto us everything that we need. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13 bears that out. And then as we look at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we need to understand that we labor and the things that we do for the Lord is not in vain. There is a purpose. We need to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know our labor is not in vain. There is a purpose, there is something we are striving for, and Paul understood that, and that's what he kept within his mind. Consequently, success or victory only comes to those who press for the goal. I literally just remember in this last Olympics, and I don't remember the circumstances, because I literally just thought of this, but there was that runner that literally dove at the end to win. I don't remember what country they were. I remember it affected the United States, and that's probably why I remember it in the first place. But they literally dove, and there was a question of whether or not that was right, or that was supposed to be done. But that's what they did, because they wanted the goal. And that's the same thing that we need to strive for. Dive for what it is that we are going after. Press towards that goal. Pursue holiness so that we can get the prize. Nonetheless, so many times, people can get discouraged because I feel that everybody seems to get this idea that being a Christian or serving Christ is complicated. I don't know why they think that, but I feel that there are a lot of people that get that idea. I hear so many different times that people say that they can't understand the Scriptures, that they're not really sure what it is that they should or shouldn't do, that, well, look, there's thousands of different denominations out there, so apparently nobody really understands what it is that they should be doing. Well, just because there may be that doesn't mean that the Bible is difficult. I would suggest to you that as you look really just within these passages, regardless of how difficult some people try to make it, or regardless of how difficult we may think it is, and granted, there's a lot more effort and work that we have to do than what is just found in two verses. There's a lot more in those verses as we've gone through than just saying, well, just do that. But really, it is a lot simpler than what we sometimes think. Just read again there, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we want a successful life, it's really right there. In just those two verses, starting off with a proper attitude, setting our goals upon things that we want to get to in heaven, forgetting those things that are behind us and the things that have hindered us in the past, and then just continuing to move forward in your life. It's really not any more complicated than that. And if we want to get to heaven, which your presence here this morning indicates that you most certainly do, we all can do that. We all can do what it is that Paul did. We all can do what he's encouraging the Philippians to do. We can all continue to follow the example that we see before us. Just as Paul imitated Christ, so can we. We can do the exact same things. It just has to, first of all, start within our mind to determine, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's where I want to go, and that's what I'm going to work for. And if there are those here this morning who recognize in their life that they failed in that regard, or maybe back up, haven't even started yet, there is no more better decision that you can make in your life than to be obedient to Jesus. There is not a better choice that is out there than to obey Him in baptism. And if you have not yet done that, then think about it. Think about what it is to be obedient to Jesus Christ. What baptism into the Lord means. It's a washing away, and it is a regeneration then towards the things of God. And if you have done that, then think back to what it is your original purpose was in being obedient to the gospel. I'm pretty certain when every single one of us were baptized, that night or that morning or that afternoon, whenever it was, we all had in our mind, I'm going to heaven. That was the goal that we did it for. If that's the goal that we did it for, then make sure that you continue to strive in everything that you do, and say in your own life, this one thing I do. Now again, there's a lot more to it than just one thing, but we can all do all of those other little things that are necessary. And if there's anyone here who would like to respond to the gospel invitation, please think upon these things. If you're subject and willing, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?
is the grandest theme through the ages long. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though thy sin oppressed go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme in the earth for me. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strength. Tis the grandest theme to the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though thy sin oppressed go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest name at the dying blow to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee.
Fine lesson for us to meditate on and apply to our lives and seek to not look behind but look forward with God's word to be faithful unto death. Any other announcements we might have overlooked? If not, then Jerry, would you lead us for a closing prayer?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the wonderful weather we've been having. We're thankful for your word to renew our ideas, your way of life you recommend for each of us to be living. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come and worship. We pray for those, dear Lord, that need your help, that might be sick, need your loving hand, dear Lord, or spiritual help by doing your will, dear Lord, we will each grow stronger. We look forward to the rest of this day.